Good Saturday morning to all of Turdville. Turd Ferguson here. It's Saturday, the 29th of November, and this is a special edition Saturday podcast emanating from downtown Turdville, USA. Welcome back. Hey, it's been a weird week, you know, with the holiday week and with the U.S. markets closed on Thursday, a lot of weird stuff going on. Add on the COMEX expiration of the December contracts moving into delivery. Unbelievably weird open interest moves, steeply falling GOFO rates, the disaster that is crude oil. Man, I tell you, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. There's no sense pussyfooting around. We got to get right into it. There's a lot to talk about, and I got to try to do this in a short amount of time. All right, look, the disaster du jour is crude oil. Okay, that there was a OPEC meeting scheduled on a U.S. market holiday. I don't know what to make of that, because as soon as they announced they weren't cutting production, I mean, crude fell right now, and it was while the NYMEX, the primary paper futures market for crude oil, while the NYMEX was closed, and that's all what drove crude from 75 down to 69. I kind of thought maybe it would bounce back a little bit yesterday, you know, given that all of that smash happened in such an illiquid trading time, but no. It just got piled on and got worse. And what you're now looking at in crude is exactly what you've seen in gold and silver. You've got a market that is dominated by high-frequency trading spec algos that are just pounding the living daylights out of it. It's going down because it's going down. I mean, we closed yesterday at 66. 66! It was 108 4 months ago. So the world's largest energy market, the most vital commodity, is down 40% in 4 months, 10% in just the last week. I will be extraordinarily surprised if this does not lead to some type of disaster. In a world of interlocking, let's call it a daisy chain of derivatives, where institution's exposure is somebody else's counterparty exposure, which is somebody else's counterparty exposure. And with this being the largest energy market, the largest commodity market in the world, to have a decline like this, I just can't imagine it's not a disaster waiting to happen. There could be disasters happening right now this weekend as I speak. And you get just like in 2008, where we had the banks causing this kind of daisy chain derivative meltdown, where first it was Bear, and then it was AIG, and then it was Lehman, and then Merrill Lynch, and then all of this, and the whole system fell apart. The very same thing could happen now, based off of derivative exposure to energy. And again, the only reason this is happening is because these markets are entirely dominated by computers that are programmed to sell and sell and sell, or buy and buy and buy, based upon whichever direction the momentum is flowing. And now the price of crude has been driven to an extreme. And there's going to be hell to pay. Just no doubt about it. And again, gold, why are gold and silver down? Well, we know silver has been linked at the hip to crude by the same algos for months. So the fact that silver was down over a dollar yesterday has nothing to do with global silver fundamentals. It has nothing to do with mine supply. It has nothing to do with the cost of production. Nothing. There's no fundamental economic reason for silver to be down other than the fact that crude was down. And so silver's down at $15.50, back in the down channel and looking like garbage. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And the fact that gold went down in tandem. A disinflation trade, I guess? I don't know what the economic rationale would be other than to scare the living daylights out of anybody standing for delivery in December. And once I give you the open interest numbers, you'll see how effective that was. But anyway, I'm very nervous as we go into the month of December and round into 2015. I think there are all kinds of signals that as we try to look forward and connect the dots, doing one of those John Nash deals, you know, where you got all this shit on the wall and you're trying to connect strings, trying to make it all make sense, right? Maybe I ought to post that. There's got to be a clip of that on YouTube. So if you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, I can show you. But trying to look forward, connecting with string all these dots is almost impossible to do. But boy, we get into the new year or even later in December and the whole world is falling apart. We'll be able to look back and go, oh my God, well, how do we not see this coming with what was going on in crude and the GOFO rates and everything else? Man, I tell you, again, there's people out there saying, oh, you gold people are stupid. The price keeps going down. I got to tell you, I remember using this line a couple of weeks ago. Yes, the price is down, but never yet has gold been more valuable in my eyes. Silver too. I could not care less that I own some gold at 1800 and some gold at 1600 and some gold at 1400 and I own some silver at 45 and some silver at 35. I don't care. I don't care. It has never been more valuable to me than it is right now, as frankly, seriously, we stare into the abyss on a daily basis. So let's talk about open interest, because this is just the most screwed up thing. Well, hold on. I just realized I've got two crude charts I got to show you here. Crude with the close yesterday at 66. That is, there's a big green candle. If you look on that arrow there, that big green candle of May 2009 had a close of like 66.90 or something. So the close yesterday was the lowest monthly close. Frankly, lowest weekly close as well since May of 2009. Lowest monthly close since April of 2009 when all of this QE began. Crude, dollar denominated. Most important energy and commodity market in the world, back to where it was when QE began. Holy Toledo. And if you look at the monthly chart, this is what a lot of people are looking at now. First, look at the scope of the decline. The only thing that even compares to it is what happened in 2008 after the huge speculative run up to 140 and change. We came all the way down over $100 in 5 or 6 months. And now if you connect 1999 with 2001, with 2008, you see why people are looking at 50? 50. Holy cow. You cannot do that without just blowing crap up. Oh, man, I tell you. Yeah. Whew. All right. We got to talk about these open interest numbers because they're bizarre. It's crazy. And I'm already 8 minutes into this podcast. I got to talk faster. All right. Last Friday, the 21st, okay? 4 days to go, 4 trading days to first notice day, 3 trading days to expiration, all that stuff. The price of gold was $11.98. The open interest last Friday night, 468,748, almost 469,000 contracts. I've seen the open interest numbers, the preliminary open interest numbers for yesterday. We are now at 376,407. So in the course of 4 trading days, 1 week, including, of course, the December expiration, open interest in gold is down 92,000 contracts. 19.7%. Well, turd, hell, that happens all the time, doesn't it? No. Last December, over the same, exact same 4 days, open interest in gold declined by 18,000 contracts, 4.5%. This year, 4 times as much. If you go back to the same 4 days in 2012, well, it went down more than that. It went down 10% in 4 days. Why this year? Twice as much. Again, I can't even begin to describe to you how weird this is. 92,000 contracts gone in 4 days. Now, I know, you know, they come off and they don't get rolled and there's spreads and all this shit. 92,000? And then I always tell you, they always beat the living daylights out of price if they're worried about deliveries. because they don't want people standing. They want to convince you, if you still have open interest on first notice day, if it looks like you're standing, they want to convince you not to. If they can convince you prices are going lower, maybe stand next month, maybe blow it out and buy yourself a new futures contract later, whatever. They're going to try to do it. And boy, was it successful. You won't believe this. So far in the first 2 days, we had 11,507 standing Wednesday night. 11,507. Pretty much what I told you to be, 10,000 to 12,000. So far, we've seen 691 delivery notices sent out. Okay, so we're just getting started. Yesterday, the preliminary open interest numbers for the December standing delivery contract declined by 7,000. 6,967 to be exact. So we've had 700 delivery notices sent out. I don't know how many we'll see. I mean, we better see about 7,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 on Monday. Because we've only seen 700 so far. And the open interest yesterday declined by 7,000 to 4,540. You want to talk about scaring the bejesus out of people and getting them not to stand for delivery? Well, there you go. Unbelievable. And it's silver. Again, same picture. Open interest a week ago was 175,000. As of yesterday, it's 156,000. That's a drop of 19,000 or almost 11%. Last year, same 4 days, dropped 5%. Again, maybe it's no more, there's nothing more to explain here than, again, just the over-predominance of computers now. There are no humans left. Maybe that's all this is. But again, if you look back in 2012, silver's open interest fell by 5.11% during those same 4 days. Last year, 5.13% over those same 4 days. This year, 10.76%. Just bizarre. Just bizarre. And now you combine that with GoFo. Even Zero Hedge doesn't know what to make of it. Then we got that news yesterday, too, about India had this rule that for every 100 tons, if you will, of import of gold, you had to turn around and export back 20. 80-20 rule, 20-80 rule. Anyway, India waived that yesterday. So now, again, they can just absorb more and more gold, just like China, exacerbating the physical situation. I don't know what to make of these GoFo rates. You know, they're not going to publish them anymore beginning in 2 months. Somebody just made a note this morning. It's like whatever it is, M3, that they don't publish anymore. You know, why? Well, because they're trying to hide how much money's actually out there. Well, that's exactly why they're not going to publish GoFo anymore, you would think. Maybe it's just because it doesn't work anymore. You know, when things really started to break down in GoFo was when, what was it, Deutsche Bank stopped participating. We lost one of the four or five banks that were, submitting these rates. Maybe it's just totally illiquid. Doesn't even matter because that's about the only thing that makes any sense. I cannot believe how negative the GoFo rates are. You can see the screenshot of the rates off the LBMA site here. You can see a chart I pulled off of Kitco showing how rates are just spiking to the downside. You can see the chart I pulled out of the Zero Hedge article on GoFo that if you haven't read yet, it's linked here. You have to read it, showing how things are just... It's unbelievable. The one-year GoFo rate, 12-month, is now almost negative. I've never seen it negative. Now, I mean, all the times when one, two, maybe even three, just for maybe a day, the six-month might dip negative. Look at the six-month now. Either this is totally insignificant, means absolutely nothing, and should always be ignored going forward because it's just nothing. Or this is showing you an incredible strain in the fractional reserve bullion banking system. What we all know is going to blow up someday because there is not anywhere near the gold that is available that's been pledged. And then nobody in an unallocated account has clear title. The vaults are empty, right? We've heard all those stories. I mean, this looks to me like the system is on its last legs. Like it may not even make it another week. And what happens yesterday? The machines drive price even lower. Out of control. lower, these machines. I'm telling you, I put a comment in yesterday about how I'm almost kind of unnerved and, I don't want to say frightened, but I'm extraordinarily uneasy to the point where I'm actually not feeling well. I was complaining to Mrs. F yesterday that I just have this, and I have had for about a month, this just kind of foreboding darkness feeling over me. And it lightens from time to time. And as I explained to you a couple weeks ago, there have been some really dark events here in the local community. But that's not, and that, I mean, I almost felt like that was part of it. But I just can't shake this ominous gut feeling. That may mean, it may be no more significant than these ridiculous GOFO rates. But man, I really... Like I said, and you put it all back together, my metal's never been more valuable. Never been more valuable. Let's look at the charts real quick as if, you know, for what they're worth. Like I said, GOFO went crazy back on the 5th and 6th of November when they somehow the paper price was driven down to about $11.40. I'd say $11.60 looks like some chart support. But if these machines can drive the world's most important commodity down 10% in a week, who knows what they're going to do to paper price of gold. So we'll see. But again, I sure think 1130, 40 is a spot that things really begin to unravel. And you can see it on the long-term chart. There looks to be a lot of support. We've talked about this for months. Between 1100 and 1050, as I stumble and stutter, it's because I'm just so flabbergasted by the state of affairs. If you look at silver, silver came down earlier this month, found a lot of support every time it tried to go down under 1550. That's where it closed yesterday. If you're looking for a Cyber Monday deal, anything below 1550 looks like a treat. And I gave you and I have given you for months the 1465 level. And if you look on that weekly chart, the long-term trend line, which they've been trying to get it back under and were unsuccessful earlier this month, that long-term trend line is going to be intersecting with 1465 soon. I tell you, Cyber Monday is Monday. If you haven't bought any metal in a long time, out of drive, hell, you can buy 20, a roll, a little, one of those little mini rolls of ASEs or whatever. For what, $300? Oh my God. Take them up on it. And again, remember I moved the premium on my TFMR rounds down to never more than $199 for everybody that's a Vault member. You just go there. Hell, I can't even. I don't know. Go to the Turds Vault page. You'll get the discount code. If we get a washout below 15 come Monday or Tuesday, and you want to be able to score yourself some silver at under 17 all in, under 17, your TFMR rounds are right there waiting for you. But God, anything you can buy. And I know I'm going to buy some. I'm going to buy some of those. Some of those stackers. I like those Scottsdale 10-ounce stackers. I'll probably do that Monday, or hell, I might even do that this afternoon. All right. Another great Zero Hedge article you see linked here. They just put out this morning about the cumulative withdrawals out of the Federal Reserve Bank of New York Gold Vault. I've got an extra chart that I found on Twitter that's on here too. You can see of the last, whatever that is, 10, 20 years of withdrawals. I mean, getting this physical gold, available, leasable, you know, it's disappearing. And again, it's not for even ongoing new leases to suppress price. These banks have to match physical to the existing leases because they've leased it out. Okay, now it's got to come back and, you know, apparently pay back whoever provided it in the first place. So these banks have to match up new physical. To pay back, it's kind of like the way they have to refund treasuries, right? You know, you got new issues of treasuries. You also have refunding. You got to issue even more to pay back the old ones, right? That's kind of what these leases are in London as well. And all of this gold, all of this readily leasable gold is disappearing, which again, if the GOFO rates are legitimate, they're telling you this: we are at a crisis stage of this bullion bank, fractional reserve bullion banking stuff. And of course, the big news come Monday will be the Swiss Gold Initiative. I don't know of anybody that was on this any earlier than me. You know, I've written these, just search here at TFMR about open letter Swiss, and you'll find the stuff I wrote back in May and back in August. What the Swiss people don't understand is that their gold's already gone. Gone! They're part of this rehypothecation and leasing nonsense anyway. They say they got 700 tons in Switzerland. Yeah, well, Basel's in Switzerland, isn't it? Where the biz is. They don't have 1,000 metric tons any more than I do. It's gone. They have one chance to reclaim the sovereignty and independence that they have cherished and valued for generations, and they are going to piss it away tomorrow by voting no. And seriously, you think if they vote yes? You remember the Scottish the stories about Scottish independence were in the days following the vote, they were finding bags full of yes votes in the garbage. I mean, yeah, okay, it's a paper ballot in Switzerland that says save our Swiss gold. Yeah, you don't think there'll be some paper ballots in the garbage in Switzerland as well? I will be flabbergasted, stunned beyond belief if the Swiss Gold Initiative actually is allowed to pass. Read the story I linked here from just this morning from the Associated Depressed here in the U.S. About how full of propaganda is. Then you had that goon from Citibank put out a thing said gold is in a 6,000-year bubble. What a douchebag! The only money that has always worked. You look in the back of Willem Middelkoop's book, The Big Reset. He's got pages of paper currency that have all failed. I mean, like 10 pages of a list. And yet this asswipe from Citibank puts out this piece of propaganda that says gold is, oh my God. That's astonishing. The wake-up call is coming. I mean, and it might be coming really, really soon. And that's why I'm so stressed out and strung out. You look at this stuff, you look at what these computers have done, and the regulators are just loving it, right? They let the stock market go up. They let the Fed buy all the futures that they want, right? Because, man, we got to keep it going as long as we can. And the exchanges like the CME Group, which owns them all, they love it because, man, every single computer trade they make a little commishki on. And it is leading to, if not already led to, disaster. I'm not going to overstate this. You know that's not my deal. I wasn't running around like some folks talking about, oh yeah, December is going to be the month. No, it's not. Okay, you know that's not my deal. Some people that don't subscribe to this site or want to take me out of context or misquote me, they do that on purpose. You know, they try to lump me in with those people, but I think you know I'm pretty much a realist on this stuff. I'm telling you right now, this is pretty scary shit. How many times have I said the big shocker to me is how they've been able to keep it together as long as they have? But as I look at crude, as I look at what's going on in the bond market, again, highest close yesterday in long bond futures that we've seen in a couple of years. Higher than, remember the day when there was a complete loss of liquidity on October the 15th? Remember that day? Well, from where we closed yesterday is higher than where we closed that day. I mean, like I said, it's very hard to be John Nash and stand there and look at it and try to figure it all out because it's just overwhelming. My brain, I am not Einstein, right? I'm not Stephen Hawking. I can't sit here. I don't have the mental capacity to do it. However, if the month of December, and as we roll into January, if it all falls apart now again, we'll be able to look back to Thanksgiving weekend in November and go, well, shit, could have seen that coming. On that cheery note, I'm going to, hell, it's 25 minutes. I'm going to stop. Come back on Monday and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. And we'll do our best to provide this community with support, a place that we can all congregate and gather and help each other through the madness. Monday starts a new week and a new month, and God knows what it has in store for us. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again Monday. This is Turd, wishing you a fine weekend, and I'm out.